Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 593, 3 days of the Falcon, being recorded on April 8th of the year 2007. Now, the title of this program obviously is a reference to the major motion picture 3 Days of the Condor, starring, among others, Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway. That movie was about CIA-connected intrigue. It came out in the mid-1970s, and this program title, and there are going to be other broadcasts in this intermittent sequence of programs, is obviously a pun on that. Instead of, however, 3 Days of the Condor, the reference is to 3 Days of the Falcon, and that's spelled F-A-L-K-O-N. It's a reference to Falcon Capital, which is an Eastern European company which may be part of the Bin Laden industrial complex. That is a subject of considerable dispute. Certainly many of the corporate fronts set up under the auspices of SECO, the Saudi investment company, the European holding company for the various properties of the fantastically wealthy and influential Saudi Bin Laden group, Falcon Capital may very well be part of the SECO and Saudi Bin Laden group network. However, it may not be. That is exactly what is a matter of controversy. We're going to be examining the a dizzying tangle of institutions and individuals, and a really smelly tangle of individuals and institutions, one connected to wrongdoing of many different types, financial skullduggery, weapons trafficking, murder, drug trafficking, terrorism, you name it. And one of the things that we're going to be examining in this intermittent series is whether or not Falcon Capital is, in point of fact, part of the Bin Laden complex. One of the things that spurred this line of inquiry is not only a charge by a Russian journalist that, in fact, Falcon Capital is connected to Bin Laden, but also the fact that one of the things that we've been looking at in connection with September 11th is the fact that the attacks were executed by people associated with an international network, a global network. Elements of that network are Islamist. Elements of that network are Islamo-fascists. But as I've said so many times, Islamo-fascism itself or Islamic fascism itself can only be properly understood as what it is, which is part of a fascist international, and its interface with other fascist elements and other criminal elements around the world is what is really important. Now, Falcon Capital is a company that was involved in buying Russia's multi-billion dollar debt to the Czech Republic. Certainly, there are indications that Falcon Capital is deeply involved with criminal elements from the former Soviet Union and probably in Czechoslovakia as well. What brings this to mind is the fact that Wolfgang Boringer, one of the many German and Swiss and Austrian associates of Mohammed Atta and Company in South Florida, Wolfgang Boringer, himself a German, was the pilot for a fellow named Victor Kozeny, spelled K-O-Z-E-N-Y. Kozeny, known as the Pirate of Prague, was a Czech criminal who has been involved in defrauding people all over the world, including in the United States. Kozeny is one of those people who has, as I like to say, more connections than a switchboard. And Kozeny, too, has many links with the Russian mafia associates. And indeed, there's a very strong Russian mafia link to the Huffman Aviation South Florida milieu, through which Mohammed Atta and some of the September 11th hijackers and Mohammed's close associate, Wolfgang Boringer, infiltrated into the United States. And we're going to be taking a look at Falcon Capital in the context of this international network, and in particular, the Russian-Czech connections to the September 11th investigation that were revealed by Daniel Hopsicker in his series about Wolfgang Boringer and Company. By the way, I want to note that in one of our recent visits, late last year, one of our visits with Daniel Hopsicker, he misstated the contention that Wolfgang Boringer had been arrested and brought to the United States, where he identified himself as working for the CIA. That was actually disinformation. Boringer has yet to be apprehended, and he certainly has not, as far as anybody knows, identified himself as working for the CIA. Boringer is still at large. However, Boringer is indeed becoming the focal point of international scrutiny, and this will be the jumping-off point for our analysis of Falcon Capital. The International Herald Tribune of November 15th of 2006 carries the following AP story datelined Canberra, Australia, and headlined, Report, FBI raises terror alarm about South Pacific flying school. It reads in part, U.S. authorities have raised an alarm over a plan by a German citizen linked to the September 11th terror attacks to build a flying school in a remote South Pacific island nation, a news report said Wednesday. Wolfgang Borringer has been linked to Mohammed Atta, the lead hijacker in the attacks on New York and Washington in 2001. The German arrived by yacht in Kiribati a year ago with plans to build a flying school, but has since left the far-flung archipelago, Australian Broadcasting Corporation Radio reported. The island where the school was planned was among the countries closest to the U.S. island state of Hawaii, the report said. Kiribati's President Anote Tong said the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation had warned him that it was suspicious of Borringer, the ABC said. Tong said the FBI also warned him that small countries like Kiribati, whose 94,000 people live on 33 atolls scattered 4,000 kilometers or 1,400 miles along the equator, could be vulnerable to terrorists, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation reported, skipping down. Bill Pape, who runs his own aviation business in Honolulu and is Kiribati's counsel in the United States, said the flight school plan made no sense. Quote, It would be very expensive. You'd have to transport all the people there and all your instructors, and your staff would have to be housed and fed and everything, unquote, Poppy told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. It just didn't make any sense at all, unquote. Well, I would interject, it didn't make any sense from a legal standpoint, but that school, which was covered in by an article on Daniel Hopsicker's Mad Cow Morning News site, and that we have covered in the past, that flight school, in which people were going to be specializing in learning to fly DC-3s, one of the aircraft of choice for smugglers, that school would make a lot of sense if one were up to no good, as it appears that Wolfgang Borringer and company certainly were. But bearing in mind the Wolfgang Borringer, Victor Korzeny connections, the Russian criminal and Czech links to the September 11th milieu are the jumping-off point and one of the reasons that I find the allegations concerning Falcon Capital so fascinating. We're going to go back and we're going to review some information that we looked at in For the Record program number 356, and we're going to be taking a look at Falcon Capital. Now, I want to stress that in this broadcast and in subsequent follow-up broadcasts in the 3 days of the Falcon series that I'm going to be producing intermittently, this is a really complicated trail to follow. And indeed, as I've emphasized in some of my discussions in the past with both Daniel Hopsicker and with Lucy Commissar, one of the reasons many of these corporate fronts and the trails around them and through them are so difficult to track is because they are supposed to be difficult to track. These networks are set up for the purposes of wrongdoing. They are meant to be opaque and not transparent. It also, by the way, the difficult, tangled nature of this investigation is one of the reasons why the written descriptions for these programs are so important, because this is a really difficult thing just to track from an oral and auditory standpoint. So please use the descriptions on the Spitfire website and related when the materials on the related websites. Speaking of Lucy Commissar, we're going to go and we're going to review an article that is now on Lucy's website, The Commissar Scoop. And this was an article that Lucy Commissar wrote for the Earth Times News Service on November 12th of 2001, Dateline Geneva. It's headlined, Swiss Bank Handled Sale from Russian Bioweapons Company. It reads in part, As the U.S. searches for the culprits who let loose an anthrax attack on America and for the money trail of Islamic terrorists believed to have plotted the attack on the World Trade Center, key questions are, quote, How does the illicit trade in biological weapons operate and how is terrorist money moved, unquote? For answers to both those questions, the U.S. ought to zero in on a Swiss bank that handled a sale from a known Russian biological weapons producer, Biopreparat, to a company, Interplastica, with links to Islamic militants. Now, Interplastica, an apparent front for Biopreparat, the Soviet and Russian's biological weapons producer, Interplastica is one of the focal points here. It's run by a guy named Begzhet Pakuli, and it's linked to a Georgian weapons trafficker named Mamaladze. And Mamaladze was one of the owners of Falcon Capital that bought Russia's multi-billion-dollar debt to the Czech Republic. And Falcon Capital, whether or not it's a bin Laden company, and there are allegations that that is the case, and indications that it might be the case, Falcon Capital is dirty as hell. So continuing here, Interplastica and Falcon Capital, Begzet Pakoli and Mr. Mamaladze are a couple of the early focal points here. Beginning in 1973, Biopreparat produced and stockpiled hundreds of tons of anthrax and dozens of tons of plague and smallpox. Documents obtained in Switzerland by this reporter show that the Banco del Gottardo in Lugano has been tightly involved in deals between Russian weapons firms and Interplastica, a company which, beginning in the 1960s, specialized in trade with the countries of the East Bloc to pierce Western embargoes. Interplastica is registered in Morbio Inferiore near Lugano in the canton of Tessin in southern Switzerland. By the way, Lugano, Switzerland is an international funny money center. It is the epicenter of the Bank Altaqua, also the Banco del Gottardo, and so keep that in mind. Among the deals, documents show that the Banco del Gottardo financed a contract between Biopreparat and Interplastica in 1993. After the International Biological Weapons Convention in 1972 outlawed biological weapons, the Soviets founded Biopreparat, supposedly for peaceful medical research. However, its deputy director till 1992, Ken Alibek, who now lives outside Washington, D.C., has testified to U.S. intelligence agents in Congress that this was just a cover for the production of biological weapons. After the Soviet regime ended, Biopreparat was officially separated from its military function and privatized, unquote. However, Western experts have doubts that the military has given up its interest and control. Now, we're going to get into the links between the Banco del Gottardo, which has connections to the Bank Altaqua, through people like Per Felice Barchi, deeply connected to the Banco del Gottardo, and also the attorney for Youssef Nada of Bank Altaqua. We're going to take a look now at how Banco del Gottardo links with Interplastica, and how Interplastica links to Islamic militants like Begzet Pakoli, and to Georgian weapons trafficker Mamaladze, one of the owners of Falcon Capital. That's the Falcon in 3 days of the Falcon. Skipping down, we continue with Lucy's article. The document that links the Banco del Gottardo to the sale is a memo faxed to the bank by Kate Geary, who worked for the bank and now is legal advisor in the Lugano law firm Scanzini, Benasconi, Peter, and Gagini, which represents the bank. She notes that, for our friends of Tirola, Biopreparat deposited through Interplastica two containers of 20 kilograms of material in the security box of the bank. P. Mamaladze advised, ready for transaction of bonds, unquote. The rest of the document purports to be about trade-related claims against bonds, unquote, all written in quotes as if to indicate that bonds, unquote, stood for something else. Tirola is a shell company registered in Lugano and run by several individuals of Georgian and Yugoslavian origin. Patak Guramovich Mamaladze is a Georgian weapons trafficker. Curiously, Mamaladze, with several Georgians, Russians, and Swiss, is also an owner of Falcon Capital. Russian Prime Minister Mikhail Kazyanov, referred to by some Russian newspapers as Misha 2% for his alleged collection of illegal commissions, unquote, arranged a deal approved in October under which Falcon was given the right to buy Russia's $2.5 billion debt to the government of Czechoslovakia for only 23% of its value. The Banco del Gottardo was already connected to Russian corruption in a money laundering case described in a U.S. Justice Department brief filed in the detention hearing of Russian Pavel Borodin. He is accused of skimming more than $65 million from Russian government construction contracts and funneling some of the payoffs to then-president Russian President Boris Yeltsin, his daughters, and top Russian officials. The Banco del Gottardo held accounts for Borodin, and other alleged culprits, and moved the money through its affiliates in the offshore secrecy haven of the Bahamas. So parenthetically, once again, back to what Lucy Commissar calls as offshore, the funny money centers, including Lugano, Switzerland. Continuing, the Swiss magazine L'Hebdo reported in June of 2000 that Pakoli and Generali flown to Moscow together on a were flown to Moscow together on a private jet. A Geneva magistrate last month recommended prosecution of Borodin and others in the Mabutex case. The man who paid the bribes, Begzet Pakuli, owner of Mabutex, ran Interplastika. Now, Interplastika is the Russian, former Soviet, then Russian bioweapons front. One of the people who is very much involved with Interplastika, in addition to Islamic militant Begzet Pakuli, is Georgian weapons trafficker Mamaladze, who's one of the owners of Falcon Capital. Continuing, Pakuli, who was born in Kosovo, supports militant Muslim groups. He finances the ultra-nationalist newspaper Bota Sot, based in Zurich, and has been condemned by the head of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, mission to Kosovo, for sowing, quote, hate, intolerance, and strife, unquote. Through the Fund for the Reconstruction of Kosovo in Lugano, he finances the Kosovo Liberation Army, or UCK, known in the West as KLA, described by Robert Gelbard, who was America's special envoy to Bosnia, as, quote, Islamic terrorists, unquote. Europol, the European police organization, says the UCK is involved in drug and weapons trafficking, prostitution, and illegal immigration. Skipping down. On Wednesday, November 6, the U.S. announced that it was adding to its blacklist of banks and individuals believed connected to the Bin Laden network, the Al-Taqwa Bank, with operations in Switzerland, Italy, Liechtenstein, and the Bahamas, and its chief executive Youssef Nada, and board members Mohamed Mansour and Ahmed Huber. Mohamed Mansour is on the board of the Bosnian Institute in Zurich, so is Pakuli. Pefelici Barki, Nada's lawyer, and Claudio Generali, president of the Banco del Gottardo, served together on boards of a capital management foundation in Liechtenstein and several enterprises in Switzerland. They are both leaders of the Liberal Radical Party, which rules in Switzerland and Tessin, and which till now has afforded the bank political protection from intrusive investigations by authorities. The U.S. should put an end to that. So again, Perfelici Barki is Youssef Nada's lawyer, also, by the way, the Swiss lawyer for the investments of former Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, a member of the P2 Lodge. And he also, that is to say, Perfelici Barki is also very close to Claudio Generali, the president of the Banco del Gottardo. Banco del Gottardo obviously has links to people like Begzet Pakuli, an Islamic militant. It also was formerly the Swiss branch of the Banco Ambrosiana. So with the Banco del Gottardo, we see the Islamic militant or the Islamo-fascist, Italian-fascist link that I alluded to during the concluding sections of For the Record 592, and that I went into at greater length in For the Record programs 535 and 456. Now again, Falcon Capital linked to Interplastika, Mamaladze, and Begzet Pakuli is the focal point of the discussion here. Now, Falcon Capital, and one of the reasons I think this is so interesting is because of the Russian crime, Russian criminal slash Islamist slash Czech link that we saw with Victor Kozeny, Wolfgang Boringer, and Mohamed Atta in the South Florida complex that we've looked at in the past and that Daniel Hopsicker has investigated. One of the things that I find so interesting about this is the fact that, first of all, again, Falcon Capital bought Russia's multi-billion-dollar debt to the Czech Republic for a mere 23% of its value. We're going to read about an allegation concerning Falcon Capital. Now, bear in mind, Falcon, one of Falcon Capital's owners, is the Georgian weapons trafficker Mamaladze, linked to bioweapons and to Begzet Pakuli, an Islamic militant who ran Interplastika. This article is dateline the Czech Republic, January 15th of 2002. It's from Johnson's Russia List. It's one of many internet accounts of a charge by a Russian journalist named Lurie, L-U-R-Y-E, who wrote in the Novaya Gazeta that, in fact, Falcon Capital is a Bin Laden company, something that's been hotly disputed, but we're going to examine that dispute. I would note that Lurie and Novaya Gazeta are, Novaya Gazeta is described as a credible publication and a critic of the Russian regime. Recently, one of its reporters, an Anna, I believe her name was Politskaya, was murdered, allegedly for investigating crimes against citizens in Chechnya. Of the allegation that Falcon Capital is a Bin Laden company, we read, Prague officials scrambled Monday to deny a Moscow newspaper's claim that an investment firm with ties to Osama bin Laden will earn about $770 million for arranging a Russian debt payoff deal with the Czech Republic. The office of Jiří Rusnok, Czech finance minister, and the investment firm Falcon Capital was cleared by both the Czech and Russian parties. But the bin Laden allegation, appearing in the independent weekly Novaya Gazeta, was only the latest in a month-long string of intriguing reports highlighting the mysteries of the Czech-Russia-Falcon deal. Prague journalists, opposition politicians, and even the Czech government's intelligence service started raising caution flags when confidential talks on a debt agreement began last spring. Skipping down. News of Novaya Gazeta's report moved as a bulletin Monday afternoon on the Czech newswire CTK. Within an hour, Rusnok, Zeman, and other officials were responding to a flood of media calls. In his story, Novaya Gazeta reporter Oleg Lurie claimed that Falcon is a daughter company of the Saudi Bin Laden Group, the multi-billion dollar construction company operated by Bin Laden's family. Although the family says that it has disowned the terrorist mastermind and denied him any stake in the company, Lurie asserted proceeds from the Falcon deal, quote, will flow smoothly in the direction of Osama bin Laden, unquote. The report said Falcon would receive $1.35 billion from the Russian government, including $580 million in cash. Most of the cash was to be transferred directly to the Czech government. The non-cash payment to Falcon was in the form of about $770 million worth of credit toward future sales of Russian-produced electricity stretched over several years. The report called the Russia-Falcon deal extremely tangled, unquote, and difficult, unquote, for any government agency trying to monitor the cash flow. But essentially, Falcon, and allegedly by extension Osama bin Laden, was to make $770 million from the deal. Gazeta's allegation of an Osama bin Laden connection to Falcon was emphasized with a schematic diagram of Saudi bin Laden enterprises that the reporter said came from an American source. Well, one of the points that needs to be made here, obviously, this allegation raised the hackles of all kinds of people. One of the things that we're going to be exploring in the future is how both Russian and Czech sources have made it very difficult for anybody to investigate Falcon Capital, and that whether or not Falcon Capital is linked to the SECO, as I suspect it might be, certainly Falcon Capital is dirty as hell. Now, one of the things that is interesting, and we're going to go into the allegations and the alleged rebuttals in future broadcasts, one of the things that's interesting is that the denials of the alleged Osama bin Laden link all say there's no link between Falcon Capital and Osama bin Laden, and they talk about no apparent links to Saudi bin Laden Group per se, but one of the things that is interesting is that a number of different companies named Falcon, but all with different spellings, are definitely linked to SECO, the Saudi investment company, the holding company for many of the holdings of Saudi bin Laden Group. One of the things we're going to do next week, I'm going to circulate to the radio stations that air the program and recirculate on the Spitfire website, for the record, 499, the SECO spring of 2001. I believe that SECO is one of the keys to the investigation of September 11th, and as we noted in that broadcast, SECO's aviation subsidiary, at the time named Avcon SA, sent its pilots for training down to Huffman Aviation. Now, it was at Huffman Aviation that we have people like Wolfgang Boringer hooking up with Mohammed Atta, and remember that Wolfgang Boringer was the personal pilot for Viktor Kozeny, the pirate of Prague, a Russian criminal involved with criminal activity, a Czech criminal rather, involved with criminal activities in the former Soviet Union and Russia and the United States and all over the place. One of the Russian/Islamist/ Czech link is one of the things that I find intriguing about the Falcon allegations, but note that SECO's aviation subsidiary sent its pilots down to Huffman Aviation for training. Next week, we're going to review For the Record program number 499, and then in weeks to come, we're going to be continuing intermittently with 3 days of the Falcon. Now, one of the things that makes all of this so complex is the fact that Falcon is, it's obviously a company that's being very carefully hidden. And one of the things that we want to note is just how purposefully Byzantine the various holdings, not only of Saudi Bin Laden Group, but of SECO actually are. And we're going to excerpt here portions of an essay by Jean-Charles Brizard, along with Guillaume Dasquet, the authors of Forbidden Truth, or the author of Forbidden Truth. And of SECO, we read, courtesy of Jean-Charles Brizard, "The establishment of SECO is strange also. Its offshore structures put in place by SBG in the Cayman Islands, Netherlands Antilles, and the British Isles. There were created by the cabinet in Geneva. They are SECO Curaçao, whose president is Yaslam bin Laden, and its administrators are Saleh bin Laden, Beatrice Dufour, and Charles Tickle, Falcon Limited of the Cayman Islands, spelled F-A-L-K-E-N, Tropeville Corporation N.V., Islay Holdings. Charles Tickle is the CEO of the American real estate company, Daniel." And then still more of this dizzying tangle here. "These intermediary structures have been progressively substituted by the investment company Russell Wood Holdings Limited, an affiliated of Tropeville Corporation and of Falcon Limited." But this Falcon is spelled F-A-L-K-A-N. And more of these fronts are then set for. And this will be, by the way, reproduced in its entirety in the description to the broadcast. And then skipping down through this tangle of companies, we find still later, "Russell Wood Limited succeeded to create a network of investment affiliates beginning in 1987. Globe Administration Limited created on October 29, 1987 in London, an affiliate of Eastleigh Holdings whose director is Abrakali Mohammed Ali Mawala. Falcon Capital Management Limited created on May 9, 1988 in London, same address as Russell Wood. Falcon here is spelled F-A-L-C-O-N. We've got three different SECO subproprietaries here, all named Falcon, but with three different spellings of Falcon. Is F-A-L-K-O-N, Falcon Capital, yet another of those? We don't know, but notice how funky Falcon Capital really is. And I'll reproduce this article in its entirety as well from the Financial Times, October 15th of 2001. This is copyright 2000 and World New World Publishing from the Prague Business World. This article, headline, "Political Economy, Falcon Debt Deal Smells Like a Rat, But Government Likes Rats." Skipping down, "Falcon Capital was established by two Georgians and an Armenian in 1996. No one knows for sure to what extent these people are still involved in the company. One of them, Papa Mamaladze, is said to be still involved in the company, according to the legal representative of Falcon, Joseph Simbora, listed in the Czech Business Registry. Simbora was a director of the Slovak oil company Slovnaft under the communists and studied in Russia. He was also a member of the board of the Slovak oil company Oil SL until 1999. Another member of the board of OILSL, Miroslav Kovarik, was blown up with his BMW in Zlín in 1996. Two other Falcon business partners were slain in 1996 in Prague and Vienna, but investigations led nowhere. Meanwhile, Falcon keeps changing addresses and telephone numbers, which no one notices until the company makes news. The company doesn't have a website and doesn't use email. Its business activities are unknown, with the exception of its unsuccessful bid for Libyan debt in 1998. So it is shady. It is mysterious. The question is Falcon Capital associated with SECO or other bin Laden interests? To be continued. This concludes For the Record program number 593, 3 days of the Falcon, being recorded on April 8th of 2007. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.